Well, good morning, everybody. And as I've said, in case you've missed it, Debbie is with me this morning. I'll shuffle over when it comes to Debbie's turn to read. So this is the second Sunday of Lent. We come to meet you, Lord, the keeper of our lives. We come to hear you, Lord, the wisdom in our lives. We come to follow you, Lord, the guider of our lives. Amen. All-powerful God of past, present and future, keeper of promises, how we love you. Son of man, the way, the truth and the life, loving despite rejection, how we love you. Holy Spirit, living power within, helping, guiding, testing and transforming, how we love you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, your unique relationship open to us. How we love you. Amen. Blessed be God forever. We come to God as one from whom no secrets are hidden, to ask for his forgiveness and peace. And we say the Song of Penitence. Have mercy on me, O God, in your great goodness. According to the abundance of your compassion, blot out my offences. Wash me thoroughly from my wickedness and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my faults and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and righteous in your judgment. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Give me again the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with your gracious Spirit. Then shall I teach your ways to the wicked, and sinners shall return to you. Deliver me from my guilt, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing of your righteousness. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. May Almighty God, who sent his Son into the world to save sinners, bring you his pardon and peace, now and forever. Amen.
So our first reading is from Genesis 12. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told him and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And we turn now to our psalm, which is Psalm 121. And we begin by saying the refrain together. The Lord shall keep you from all evil. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not suffer your foot to stumble. He who watches over you will not sleep. Behold, he who keeps watch over Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord shall keep you from all evil. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand, so that the sun shall not strike you by day, neither the moon by night. The Lord shall keep you from all evil. It is he who shall keep your soul. The Lord shall keep watch over your going out and your coming in, from this time forth forevermore. The Lord shall keep you from all evil. Lord, ever watchful and faithful, we look to you to be our defence, and we lift our hearts to know your help through Jesus Christ our Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
And our second reading. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless you are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do not understand these things. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from the heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Something prompted me to do a little maths the other day. I don't quite know why, because maths is not really my thing. Anyway, I realized that I have been to church most Sundays in my life, although I did stop going in my early 20s, but not for long. A quick calculation made me realize that I have been to well over 3,000 church services, and I haven't even counted the extras when I have been twice or three times. That's pretty amazing, and I suspect that some of you have been to far more than that. And I am really grateful to my parents who took me to church when I was a child, twice on a Sunday with a crusader class in the afternoon. Going to church, being in church, is part of my DNA. It's part of who I am. However, I have found myself wondering, what good has it done? What good has all that church going done for me? I know a couple of hundred hymns and songs. I can say the Creed and the Lord's Prayer off by heart. And I know what words and phrases like the offertory and the gradual hymn mean. But apart from that, what good has it done me? After all, familiarity is said to breed contempt, or at least dull the senses, enabling us to go through the motions without engaging our whole self. And God has a problem with it. He doesn't want us to just go through the motions. He wants us to engage, to fully engage in worshipping him with our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Every part of us, all of us. The Pharisees were often the target of Jesus' criticism. They were outwardly religious, showing everyone how much they prayed, how well they obeyed the commandments, how good and holy they were, but completely ignoring the fact that God wasn't bothered or impressed with what was happening on the outside. It was what was happening on the inside that was important, what was going on in a person's heart. And along comes Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a Pharisee, part of the religious elite. John describes him as being a religious leader. He is a member of the ruling Jewish council and a teacher. I have no doubt that Nicodemus took his faith seriously. He was, like most Pharisees, extremely conscientious. He can see that Jesus has something. He is different. And Nicodemus has worked out that Jesus must come from God. Rabbi, says Nicodemus, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. It's a good opening. Nicodemus is clearly paving the way for a good discussion. But Jesus goes straight to the heart of the matter. I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus knows what's on Nicodemus's heart. He knows what's on everyone's heart. Jesus doesn't need to be told. He knows it. At the end of chapter 2, John tells us, because of the miraculous signs Jesus did in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, many began to trust him. But Jesus didn't trust them because he knew all about people. No one needed to tell him about human nature, for he knew what was in each person's heart. Jesus knew all about Nicodemus's heart, and he knew about his faith. He knew it was flawed. He knew a lot of it was just going through the motions, keeping rules, upholding traditions, playing the religious game, being a member of the religious club. Nicodemus's faith was based on human constructs, not on God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit. To be honest, Jesus sounds a bit hard on Nicodemus. But I don't think Jesus is either dismissing his religious efforts or scorning them. He is just trying to get to the serious and pressing central issue. Years of religion, years of going through the motions, years of vain repetition, years and years of this stuff can lead to a hard heart that is very, very difficult to crack open. Only understanding and accepting the free gift of God's love can do that. You must be born again. We need new flesh, a new heart, a new birth. This is not just having a religious makeover. It's not, as I pointed out last week, thinking that by giving up chocolate for Lent, that's it. There's nothing more to be done. We've got this life of faith sorted. This new birth entails being born of water and of the Spirit, dying to our old lives and being born again in a new spiritual life. Jesus confronts Nicodemus with these things, and he uses the Hebrew scriptures to do so. After all, Nicodemus should know them. He's an expert, part of the religious elite. The prophet Ezekiel wrote, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart." A new birth is not like having a new car or a new home. It means dying to self, just like Jesus did, by hanging on a cross. It means a new life with God. It means moving from dull, flawed, slavish religion to colourful, vibrant, vital faith, which can only come by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be prepared to leave behind our old ways and our own ways and human traditions, and to throw ourselves wholeheartedly on Jesus. As Jesus explained to Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. The Israelites threw themselves on God's mercy when they were bitten by poisonous snakes in the wilderness. The only way they could be saved was by looking at the bronze serpent hanging on the pole God told Moses to make. So we need to look to Jesus and Jesus alone for our salvation. For us to be reborn, Jesus had to die. In the same way, for us to be reborn, we need to do the same. We need to die to ourselves in this life and allow God to fill us with his Spirit, so that we can have new life with him for eternity. Life and death go together. We must be born again and become like little children to enter the kingdom of God. One of the problems of growing up is we lose some of the wonders of being a child. Little children trust. They reach out and touch faith when they know that they are loved. In fact, they don't just reach out, they run towards it. We need to become like little children, knowing that we have a Father in heaven who loves us so much that he sent his Son Jesus to be our Saviour. And it's not just about me, and it's not just about you. It's for everyone. This is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. It seems like Nicodemus went away and thought long and hard about the things Jesus said. He's mentioned twice more in the Gospels. In John 7, he urges his fellow Pharisees not to judge Jesus without first listening to him. It wasn't well received. And secondly, in John chapter 19, he and Joseph of Arimathea take Jesus' body down from the cross. John tells us that Nicodemus brought about 75 pounds of perfumed ointment made from myrrh and aloes. Following Jewish burial custom, they wrapped Jesus' body with the spices in long sheets of linen cloth, and then they laid Jesus in a tomb. When Nicodemus went to see Jesus, he began a journey of faith into the unknown. He was a work in progress, and so am I. And so are you. Having been to well over 3,000 church services in my life doesn't really count for much. Having well over 3,000 opportunities to come before the living God, allowing his Spirit to change me and transform me, well, that's different. True religion is a journey, a lifelong conversion of being born again, born by the Spirit from above. Again and again, if we allow the Spirit to dwell in us, we are born again. may my mind be born again, my words be born again, and the things I do be born again as I travel through Lent to Easter, through this life and into eternity. Amen.
The prayers. God, who makes known what is unknown, we offer our prayers for those who step out into the unknown on behalf of the community. We pray for ambulance crews, members of the fire service and police officers responding to emergency calls who do not know what to expect when they respond to a call. Lord of the light, bring your vision, wisdom and strength. God, who makes known what is unknown, we offer our prayers for those who travel long distances to serve as aid workers, leaving behind friends and family and unsure of the situation they will find and how they will cope with it. Lord of the light, bring vision, wisdom and strength. God, who makes known what is unknown, we offer our prayers for those whose lives have been devastated by earthquake, famine, and flood. We hold before you the people who have no idea what tomorrow holds, because their homes and livelihoods have been destroyed. Lord of the light, bring vision and wisdom and strength. God, who makes known what is unknown, we offer our prayers for those who flee their country without really knowing what journey's end will be, for those who cross the channel in small boats, those seeking asylum, and for refugees. Lord of the light, bring wisdom, vision, and strength. Lord, who makes known what is unknown, we offer our prayers for those who are waiting for test results, or to be called for operations or other forms of treatment. We pray for those with mental health issues as they struggle to understand what is going on in their minds and their lives. This morning, we pray for those known to us who are unwell, and the family and friends of those who have recently died.
I've got the list if you want me to read it out, Dawn.
Yes, please do.
And for the sick, this morning we pray for those known to us who are unwell, especially Jacques, Brenda, Oliver, Olivia, Cynthia, Jackie, Mary, Tony, Donald, Diana, Roman, Ruth, Mike, Bob, Keith, Janice, Georgie, Reg, Joy, Graham, Peter, and Rosemary, and the family and friends of those who have recently died, especially thinking of Lorna England's family. Lord of the light, bring vision,
wisdom
and strength.
In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. And the collect for the second Sunday of Lent. Almighty God, you show to those who are in error the light of your truth, that they may return to the way of righteousness. Grant to all those who are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's religion that they may reject those things that are contrary to their profession and follow all such things as are agreeable to the same. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we join together with the Lord's Prayer, trusting in the compassion of God, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Christ, give us grace to grow in holiness, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and all those we love and pray for, today and always. Amen.